Okay, verse 5. We have the inner life, and we have the church daily life. There is the meeting life. There is the church. Right. Christ is our inner life. Christ is our daily life. We'll make the meeting life new and glorious. Verse 5 is actually we have. Right? When we have, right, the inner life, we have our daily life. Amen. There is the meeting life. Right? And there is the church. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. We'll come to the final session of morning, the first morning session one on page 37. Page 37, the exercise of our spirit. Okay, let's read the title together. The exercise of the spirit for the release of the spirit. Okay, we'll allow the clicking. As you're clicking, okay, whatever you're doing. Okay, I'll do a little review here, of the past messages. I think we can see the triune God created, right, the tripartite man with the body, soul, and spirit, right, for man to be a living vessel, that man may have a capacity to contain, not only contain, but also to be organically joined, to be one with him. To be, okay, there's a result. Not only the exercise, we have our human spirit, but there's a result. God has a purpose in giving us a human spirit. That purpose was to be his corporate expression as the divine organism in this universe, right? For his expression in humanity. Okay, so here in this, therefore, God created the spirit. So the spirit, we're trying to search a word for it, is what? Indispensable? It's not only important. Actually, it's a center. Man is the center of the universe. And what is the center of the center? I am a man, I'm the meaning of the universe. Yes, I'm a man, I'm the meaning of the universe. God made me sad, I am so mad. Why? I'm the center and the meaning of the universe. Okay, we're the center and meaning of the universe. Yes, we are. But yet, without the spirit, we're animals. Don't you feel, you know, we're like those without the spirit are like animals roaming around. Zombies, okay? So, yes, we are the center of the universe. But what makes us meaningful, what makes the center is our spirit. Okay, but here we're not only talking about the exercise of the spirit. In the initiation beginning, when we receive the Lord, our spirit is regenerated, made alive again, right? So when we talk about the exercising of the spirit, we're talking about the exercising of the mingled spirit. Okay, that is the point we call Lord Jesus, right? How many we got? 16, 15? In these 2 days, saved and baptized? Lord Jesus, right? That's only a beginning, an initiation, right? You know, get saved, right? But we need to continue the matter of exercising our human spirit, okay? So you can see we're important, right? We're men. But on the matter of our, in the next message, you know, exercising our human spirit. Okay. And the next message, I'd like to read here is for purpose, right? Okay. The way to practice is for the practice and the Christian life and the church life is to exercise ourselves unto godliness. Okay. When we talk about exercise our human spirit, it has different aspects. It has a dealing aspect. So we need to deal, okay, with the parts surrounding our spirit. That is our mind, emotion, and will. There's a dealing aspect, right? I won't go into detail, but one of the major part is the dealing with our conscience, to have a proper conscience. So when we say, let's exercise our spirit, Lord Jesus, you know, we jump up and down. We think that's release your spirit. It's not only in the outward, our forms, our loudness. I'm not saying we shouldn't be loud, but there is a process first. Because when you go, you find there's a hindrance. We need to deal with it. But remember, the dealing is for the feeling. Again, the dealing is for the feeling. The dealing is not for the sake of dealing. I just deal with myself. So I'm so introverted. Oh, every time I come, Lord, deal with me. Okay, but you have to be dealt with in a point to take away the hindrance. The confession of the sins, right? The judicial redemption is what? For the organic salvation, right? I deal with it. Lord, yes, I confess. When the Lord touches you, just confess. Apply the blood, okay? I won't go into detail. That is part of dealing. It's that, yes, it's for the feeling part of the Spirit, okay? Remind me why I only have two minutes, okay? Remind me why I only have 2 minutes, okay? Yeah, I think I've done 3 minutes. Okay, so just go. Okay, remind me, raise up your hand, I'll stop. Definitely, I'll keep my time. Okay, but be, you know, sort of exercise of Spirit has that part. But I want to share, you know, and coming to that, that only we need to deal with the importance of the human spirit, deal with the inward parts and exercise of the Spirit, but there's a matter of discernment. Discerning. You know, is it from, but what does it take to discern? The word, right? We have a sword. We have a sharper than any two-edged sword. The word of God is living and operative, right? So that's how we need to pray, read the word. Okay. So you're dealing with your conscience, right? Dealing with every part of the spirit, confessing, right? Applying in blood. Then what? Then, you know, then you need the word, actually. You just come to the word. Not in your mind, okay? Not in your mind. But all this is yesterday. So we could have unto godliness. So godliness, on one hand, is our living. So the whole point here I'll come to, it's actually Bible reveals Christ and the church. It's unto godliness. Great is the mystery of godliness. It's what? God manifested in the flesh. Yes, we're exercising our spirit, but there is an expression. God wants an expression. Individually, in our daily living, enjoying Christ as our life, but there needs to be a corporate, individual and corporate expression. So there are two aspects. So in a sense, also there's a matter of life and building. Well, I asked a question earlier. How do we bring the Lord back? Draw another diagram. That's one way. But look at, you need to build in, that means function or service. So all that exercise of the Spirit, our growth in life, remember the four stages, the more we go, the more we exercise, we're growing in life. But that growth in John, the Gospel of John, you see life, building. Genesis, Revelation, life, building, right? Life, that means the exercise of our spirit for the growth in life is for the building, for the New Jerusalem, the bride. Okay, that the growth will take the building. So you have to see here, unto godliness. On one hand, it's part of our daily life. So I look into the word living, okay? Because life, we have an inner life, then I'll touch our daily life or living and walking. There are two verses in Galatians 5:16 and Galatians 5:26 talk about walking. Okay, if you have your verse, I'd like to read it because we're on the matter of the word. So if possible, read it. Okay, if you can stand up, okay, come on, point to the verse and also the footnote. Galatians 5:16, okay. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you shall by no means fulfill the lust of the flesh. Okay, there's a note here, 5:16:1-8. Okay, walk. Can someone stand up with a loud spirit, even with a mic if possible? Just release. Okay, what's in the footnote? You have your Bible with you? Okay, go ahead. Yeah. Okay, the point is common, yet what? Habitual. Okay, we're talking about a kind of living. Maybe you're in a habit every morning, like I am. I always, what's the first thing you do? I don't know what you do. Start calling on the name of the Lord. You have a habit, right? Oh no, it's too late. I think, oh no, I'm late. Is that your habit? Are you late? You know, I don't know what is a habit, but we're here talking about the personal life. There is need a habit. Even in this aspect, right? Living according to the Spirit. So we'll not be, you know, fulfill the lust of the flesh. There's a war going on. There's a fight. Fighting for our daily life. So you need to what? Walk. To build up. That's what we're doing. 6 days. You're tired, right? Let's keep going. I was telling some of the brothers, do a schedule. What time are you going to wake up in the morning? I'm not saying everyone wake up at, you know, four, maybe, like Bill, you know. It's, I don't know what time, but I may need 8 or 9 hours of sleep. So I may wake up at 6, you know, that's my time. But do a schedule. You need to build up a daily life. Okay, let's continue. But look at that. Can someone read Galatians 5:25? Not only we have a roundabout, you should walk about in your daily life, but look at 5:25. Can someone read that verse? Okay, so we have lived by the Spirit in the previous verse, live, we walk by the Spirit. What's the difference between the two walks? Let's read the footnote. Can someone find the footnote standing the second paragraph only? Okay, not the first.
Both the walk in verse 16 and the walk in this verse are by the Spirit and are regulated by the Spirit. The former refers to a general daily walk. The latter to a walk that takes God's unique goal, amen, and the direction and purpose of life. Amen. And a walk that follows the Spirit as the elementary rule. Basic principle. Such a walk is cultivated by living in a new creation.
Amen.
Pursuing Christ in order to gain him.
And the next sentence?
Practicing the church life.
Practicing the church life. Go ahead.
Fulfilling God's attention in Christ for the church.
Okay, so here you have a kind of walk. Pursuing Christ, right? You walk about every day, you go to school. But yet, what is the goal? What is your purpose? There is that definite goal. I want to pursue Christ with those. So, right? With a definite goal and definite purpose, but what? To practice the church life. Again, not only this, so this walk is like an army marching. You had to read the first part. Anybody, we got a ranger here? Who's that ranger?
Jesse,
yeah. I love that. I need your training, brother. You know, we need that, right? That's when we come to church meeting, right? It's a kind of corporate, right? Not only individually, you probably train, do your push-ups. We did push-ups, whatever ups, okay? Need to be up, okay? So in a meeting, also, we need a corporate, right? It's a corporate expression, right? We need to corporately. So okay, I'm going to stop here. You got my point? The daily life, okay? It's sort of church life, the meeting life. So all this has a goal. We're here to build up the church. First of all, show up. If you don't show up, you can't build up the church. Show up at the prayer meeting. Show up on the Lord's Day meeting. Show up on the whatever, you know, your student coordination nucleus, not only, you know, one brother there by himself. No, show up. Present your bodies as a living sacrifice, right? That's most of the reasonable service. And do not slothful in Egypt, but burning in spirit. You got to present, okay? I'll stop here. So all this, you get this point, okay, I'm finished. Right? I'm finished my message because, okay, let's read Roman number one. Our responsibility is to exercise our spirit to release the spirit. Okay, we talk about exercise the spirit, right? That is not only in the meetings, right? The song said it's our daily living. When we meet something, let's read the points here. A. Okay, 1 John 2:27, and as for you, the anointing which you have received from him abides in you. Okay, here it's not an ointment, but anointing. Sometimes don't you feel that feeling? Don't go there. Don't say that. Okay, don't do that. The green light goes on. Oh, no, not the green, the yellow light flashing. Crossway, 30 seconds, 29, but you still go on the go. Run, let's rush to it. Okay. That's the anointing. When you follow the anointing, what happens? The anointing has a purpose for what? Abide. Okay, again, I said, you know, the exercise of spirit, even anointing for us to live a life abiding in the Lord. In a sense, we're in Christ. We're walking in Him. He becomes our realm. We're one. He abides in us. We abide in Him. So the anointing, even the exercise of the Spirit in the daily life is for the abiding individual, but corporately, right? We are His corporate abide. See, the abiding. So we're in Him. He's in us. Okay. So, okay, two. One. We cooperate with the Spirit by exercising our spirit to pray from the innermost part of our being. Okay, here it says we cooperate. Roman numerals are our responsibility. Yeah, we do have a responsibility. Everything's here. The word is here. The spirit's in us, right? We have the responsibility to exercise and to release. But this here says to pray from the innermost part of our being. How do we exercise our spirit? Okay, here, we don't have the time, but I went into the footnote on 424. We all know God is spirit. Those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truthfulness, okay, or reality, truthfulness. In the part of the footnotes, we always say, okay, it's not where to worship God. Is it in Jerusalem? Is it here? But where? Where's the place? In our spirit, in our mingled spirit. But yet in the Old Testament, the worship is not only a place. You need something. You need the sacrifices. Right? You need to, yeah, I'm here. I'm standing on the ground, you know, amen, till Jesus come. But I got nothing in me. The Lord won't steal me. The Lord's coming to steal something. So that means we need to experience Christ. That means to labor. Actually, another song I like to sing is, you know, let us exhibit Christ. Right? You know, we need to labor. We need to have something. As you're here in 6 days, right? Amen. Be filled. To flow, right? To fill. Later on you'll see the verse, you fill. The exercise is for the filling. The filling is for the flowing. The flowing is for the building. The releasing is for the building. You see that? But when you go back, you need to labor. You need to experience the Christ. To have the building God, the builded God in you. That means you need to labor, pay the price, to buy the oil, to read the word, to come to prayer meeting. Then when you come to the meeting, you not only I'm in the proper place, I'm here, sleeping, I'm so tired. Okay, but what? You have something to present. Okay, that's one area, okay? This is like pastor, you need, okay, maybe he'll talk about when I come to the meeting, I'm so tired, but I'm here anyway. That's good. That's what I'm going to talk about next. Let's read two. When we pray, we must forget all our thoughts
and outward circumstances and take care of
Okay, individually, as we come to the Lord, pray, right? Pray. Okay. You sense there's a blockage. I'm down. I'm bothered. The key word is to forget. Forget about it. Okay, but how do you forget about it? Or when you come to a meeting, I'm late to a meeting. All the brothers look at me and ask me to sit in the front row. Okay, all the late ones come and sit in the front row. Okay, so at this time, you're in yourself, you're condemned, everybody else condemns me. Then it says what? Forget about it. How do I forget about it? I'm here. I mean, so, you know, I don't want to exercise. Okay, the verse is Romans 8:6. What does it say? Mind set on the Spirit. So at this time, the setting is the forgetting. It's not, oh, Lord, I want to forget. No, you just set. That means you turn, you call, you exercise, regardless how you feel. You know, how the families are saved. Okay, I'm arguing with my wife. Ding dong. Oh, the saints are coming Friday night. We're arguing what to cook. I said, cook this. She said, no, cook that. You know, I said, too salty. She said, no, that's good. Okay, all right. Ding dong. Uh-oh. Man, what do I do? I just argue. How do I deal with my conscience? It's too late. You know, the saints are here. The saints are marching in. You know. Oh, Lord. You know, so I have to turn. That means what? Forget about it. Take the blood. Right at that moment, it's too late. You know, go to my room. So what do? I hide. I never come out of my room. That is sensing joy. I shut myself in the outer darkness. Repent, then I come back. No, don't do that. Okay, so another concept, to be spiritual. Okay, I just want to touch it. Oh, to be spiritual. Man, this brother never loses his temper. He's always, you know, so nice. Look at him, you know. You hit him, he should turn the other cheek. Man, who is this brother? Is that, okay, a spiritual person doesn't mean he doesn't fail. It's that how quickly he turns to his spirit. To be spiritual, you need to go into footnotes, you know, Corinthians. What does it mean to be spiritual? You know, only the spiritual man, soulish man, spiritual man, is that you're in your spirit. When you were in Christ, we're in the spirit. That means the spirit is taking the lead. Not our soul, not our flesh, not our body, not our feelings. That is spiritual man who exercises spirit regardless. Forget about these. Applying the blood, not by ourselves, but exercise. Even a little force. But it's not. Actually, the whole point, the key is our mind. Just turn, set, okay, our mind on the spirit. And the rest is the law of spirit of life. Boom, you're out in third heavens. Amen. Ding dong. Hallelujah, saints. Welcome. Hallelujah. Okay. Okay, I apply the blood. Okay, it's in a short second. So exercise your spirit, regardless, okay, individually, okay, but especially in a meeting setting, okay. Then let's go three. Okay, we need to finish. When we exercise, okay, and last one, we must learn to exercise our spirit during the whole day in order to be ready to overflow. Okay, here the 1 Corinthians 14, you know, exercise, release our spirit to release in a meeting, strengthening. But what is strengthening? What is refreshing? What's new? What's, you look at it, notice, prophesying. It's the word, right? You come in. So we need to be constituted with the word to prophesy. We really enjoy your prophecy. You know, all this just come up, you know, to exercise, but exercise to release the word. It's the word that builds up the church, right? The whole thing about 1 Corinthians, each one has, and the spirit of the prophet is subject to the spirit, right? It's not, you know, I'm waiting for inspiration. Oh, Lord, no. I don't have a feeling for it. No, I'm waiting for that feeling. No, just stand up. Right? Exercise the word. And the last one, we must learn to exercise spirit during the whole day. Whole day, right? And in order to be ready for the overflow. John, the last day of the feast, Jesus came up and said, anyone who thirsts, drink, drink. And out of the innermost being will flow. Right? The flowing is in Psalm 45:1. It says that my heart, right, overflows with good matters. And our tongue's like a ready writer. So what does that mean? Praising the king, you look in the footnote, the sections, not only praising the king, the queen, and also the princess. Amen. That means in the church meeting, amen, we should overflow. Amen. Amen. Okay. Amen. I'll stop here.
Sing hallelujah to Jesus and be blent into oneness with him. Always rejoice, unceasingly pray. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you.
Amen. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice, 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 and again I say rejoice. Amen. Rejoice, rejoice, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice, rejoice, rejoice. Amen. And again I say rejoice. Hallelujah. In the holiest place, touch the throne of grace. Grace as a river shall flow. In the holiest place, touch the throne of grace. Grace as a river shall flow. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Grace as a river shall flow. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Grace as a river shall flow. To the Spirit turn and the infinite. Touch the living fountain of life, 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 life. To the Spirit turn and the Spirit said burn. Touch the living fountain of life. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Touch the living fountain of life. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Touch the living fountain of life. You don't need a hymnal. You have them in you. You can just sing the songs all the time, right? Oh, let us rejoice in the Lord evermore, though all things around us be trying. You don't know them. It is better to sing than be sighing, than rejoice evermore, rejoice evermore. It is better to sing than be sighing. It is better to live than be dying. So let us rejoice in the more. Hallelujah. That's the second half of the message. We're done. Hallelujah. If you look at the outline, I want you to notice where it is the small s spirit and where it is the capital S spirit. Right? If we read Romans 2, you see this, right? We must exercise our spirit, right? We must exercise our spirit by praying, praising, rejoicing, thanking, singing, and speaking for the Spirit to be released in the meetings, right? Christ is building the church as the Spirit. But our cooperation and our responsibility is to exercise our human spirit all throughout the day so that when we come together for the church meetings, for the home meetings, then the Spirit can be released. Now, I think we've shared this with you before. I just want to remind you, there is a difference between the exercise of the Spirit and the release of the Spirit. And it's not easy to define so much the distinction, but we can say maybe this, that the exercise of the Spirit is more related to the three functions of the Spirit: conscience, intuition, and fellowship. And in the first part of the outline, our brother David did a good job to cover these points. Actually, you can see to cooperate in 1A is to cooperate with the anointing. That is the intuition, right? And then to pray, to exercising our spirit to pray, is related to our fellowship with the Lord. When we pray, we're exercising this function of our spirit to fellowship with the Lord. And then we need to forget everything and take care of the feeling in our conscience. That is the function of the conscience. Now, all of these things can happen in your daily life without shouting. And without calling out, you know, loud. Many of you, you know, you're students and you go to class. And so when you get to class, you can't just walk into the class and sing, "Always rejoice, unceasingly," the professor, "Would you shut up? We're trying to have a class here." You know, it's not going to work, right? And maybe you're frustrated because, you know, you didn't get your homework done and you didn't remember till you walk into the class and you realize you forgot. Maybe you did it, but you left it in the dorm room or something, you know. You can't get in the room and go, oh, Lord Jesus, I forgot my homework. You can't just shout. Right. So does that mean you can't exercise your spirit? You still have to exercise your spirit. You can still, at least I don't know, I practice this, I don't know if it works for everybody, but I can sing without you hearing it. But I can hear it. And it's not just sing in my mind. You know, I can sing, oh, and you know, you can hear it. You're singing it. You're singing the thing. The words are going on. You can, you know, and you can pray, you know, little bit of voice. You can call, Lord Jesus, I forgot my homework. What am I going to do? You know, you still can exercise your spirit in your daily life. And we must learn to exercise our spirit. Now, there are times when you can shout, you know. Someone gave that kind of testimony. There was all kinds of noise going on. So you can shout and scream. When I was still working, I used to go up these tall buildings in Manhattan, you know. So you can't do much on the street. But once I get in an elevator all by myself with the door closed, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Now, I know there's a camera there. That's okay. We'll let the security guard know that, you know, we're releasing our spirit. And then the door's closed and you get back out. I'm just going to walk into it. Dennis Cooley, you know. Actually, I'm sorry. My name is Dennis Cooley. I didn't say that last night. I'm from New York. Anyway, so the point here is that we need to learn to exercise our spirit in our daily life, mainly by these three functions. And we can sing, we can call, we can do a lot of things, but we're exercising to enjoy the Lord. That's the main thing. Write that down. You want to exercise in your daily life to contact the Lord, to enjoy the Lord, to be filled with the Lord, so that what? There's a goal. It's not just for your, just to, you know, if you exercise your spirit, you will be happy. But that's still not the goal. The goal is that when you come together with the saints, there's some opportunity for the Spirit of God, who is living in your spirit, to be released. To do what? We read that, right? To strengthen, refresh, renew, nourish, and satisfy the spirits of the saints. And this is our burden in this session. We want all of you to realize you can satisfy the saints' spirit. You can refresh the spirit of the saints. You can renew the spirit of the saints. You can supply them with what? With God Himself, who is in your spirit. You can do that in the meetings. And I hope we can infuse you with this burden. It's our responsibility to do that. I know many of you, I enjoy your testimonies about going to the home meetings. But I heard some of you say that you cooked something for the home meeting, right? You prepared something. I remember one sister talking about making cookies for the kids in that family, right? You brought something to the home meeting. That is the principle here. You need to bring something to the meeting. In the Old Testament, whenever they went up, God told them how to worship, right? You must come up to Jerusalem, which was higher in elevation. They had to walk up. You must come up to the feast. And you have to bring your offerings and your free will offerings and your sacrifices. What are those? Those were sheep and goats and bullocks and wheat and grain. You know, there were all kinds of offerings. You labored on the good land all that, so many months, and then when the time came for, right, the Day of Atonement, or for Passover, or for tabernacles, you came up to the feast with something. You brought something to God for the worship of God. This is the principle of the church meetings. We all have to bring something. We have to bring something. And you're not too young to bring something.
Amen.
In fact, we need your portion. We need your portion. If you don't bring something, the church meeting is short. It's lacking. You know, those of us with gray hair, yeah, we have a portion. But you're tired of hearing our portion. Maybe I shouldn't say that. Yeah, you shouldn't be tired of hearing our portion. But we're tired of hearing our portion. We want to hear your portion. We want the younger saints and the middle-aged saints, we want to hear everyone's portion. Actually, we don't despise, in New York we have a couple, they're in their mid-90s. Brother and Sister Yue, you know, they're in their mid-90s. And when they were 70, in their 70s, they bought a house right down from the meeting hall because they realized they can't drive anymore. They got to walk to the meeting, so they bought the house down from the meeting. And they walk to the meeting. They're in the meetings all the time. We don't despise their portion. We love it when they function. But we love it more when the young saints function, when the college saints function. So this is my burden. I want to infuse you with this burden. You need to take the church life on your shoulders. You need to rise up and bear the burden of the content of the meeting. Like our brother said, first of all, you need to be there. If you're not there, you can't minister the Christ that you've enjoyed, right? You need to be there, which in some cases means you have to schedule your time so you get your work done, you get everything you need to get done so that you have the time to go. You need to schedule that. But you need to be there. But don't just go there and sit there, you know, and okay, you will be supplied in the meeting. There's sometimes, I know, you maybe feel like you're wiped out. You just go and sit and enjoy the Lord. That's fine. That's fine. But you still should have this kind of view. More times you should go there with something. To minister something. Even to pray in the meeting, to declare a verse of a hymn in the meeting. That really supplies the meeting. Don't let the spirit of the meeting go down. If everyone, we sing a hymn in the meeting and then no one is praying and no one is praising, you praise. You declare something. Just declaring, reading something with your companion in the meeting, that brings the spirit up higher. It really does. Think about that. You know, when we're in the Lord's table meeting, and especially in the beginning, and the saints are just kind of, you know, unfortunately, warming up. We should have been warmed up, but anyway, you know, we're there warming up. If the young people would pick it up right away to declare something, read a verse, pray something to the Lord, oh, that takes the meeting. The Spirit just goes in the meeting. And that encourages all the saints. So, brothers and sisters, this is our burden. You need to bear the responsibility to prepare some Christ. That, you know, let us exhibit Christ. Talks about this, that hymn. Right? We need to prepare something during our day to release it in the meetings. Let's read Roman 2 and A together. We must exercise our spirit by praying, praising, rejoicing, thanking, singing, and speaking for the spirit to be released in the church meetings. Sisters. Amen. One, brothers, we must learn to pray praise by singing, which will issue in a real deliverance, liberation, at least, of our spirit altogether, too. If we speak to one another by singing a psalm, hymn, or a spiritual song, our spirit will be exercised, and the Spirit will come out. So we need to exercise by singing. I know we all love to sing. And it doesn't matter if you have a good voice or not. God doesn't care. It doesn't matter if you're in tune or not. He's tone deaf. Well, maybe he's not tone deaf, but he doesn't. That's not what he's after. He's after the release. He wants you to touch him. And you can touch him. You know, I serve with a brother. He sings in another. I don't know what key that is. And it's not harmony either sometimes, you know. There's a little dissonance there, but you know. But I know that he is releasing his spirit, enjoying the Lord. And so it doesn't trouble me one bit. Just enjoy the Lord. Joyful noise. There. Very scriptural. You don't know the tune of a song. You touched by some words of a hymn and you don't know the thing. What do? You say, oh man, I don't know this. And try to call somebody who plays piano or whatever. Forget about it. Write a tune. Make it up. Just sing something. Just sing something, you know? Because we need to sing. When we sing, we get out of our mind. When we praise the Lord, like we saw this morning, praising frees you. It releases you. And that portion in Chronicles, there are other portions like that in the Old Testament. Portion in Chronicles is very clear. When they went to fight the battle, You know who was at the front? The singers. Actually, if you study the Bible in this way, if you search music in the Bible, most of the time music is negative. When you hear the sound of the music of the trumpet, and then bow down and worship the idol. Most of the time, music is negative. And it's only mentioned a few times. But singing is mentioned, I don't know if it's 100 times. It's dozens of times. Always positive, and to win the battle. The singers went out first to fight the battle. So singing really defeats the enemy. We sang that, right? Our mouth shut up defeats us and wins the devil's smile. So why not open battle and praise Him all the while? So we need to sing to the Lord with our spirit. We will sing to the Lord with our spirit. We will sing to the Lord from within. We will sing hallelujah to Jesus and be blent into oneness with Him. Amen. Amen. Crush the devil's head. Hallelujah. Okay, let's read B, all together on B. To release the Spirit, we must learn to rejoice, pray, thank, and praise the Lord, so that the Spirit will not be quenched. These verses in 1 Thessalonians. Well, up until now, we're mostly on Ephesians 5, 18 and 19, which we read in the morning revival, so I didn't want to have to repeat that. But anyway, that is that we would be filled in spirit, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and psalming with your heart to the Lord. These verses in 1 Thessalonians are very familiar, right? Always rejoice, unceasingly pray, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And then, do not quench the Spirit. You also have to be careful not to quench the Spirit. Brothers, one, if we are loose and careless in our speaking, in our attitude, in doing things, no matter how small seem, we will quench the Spirit. We have to be careful. Especially with these two lips. Our gossip will kill the Spirit. It really quenches the Spirit. And even little loose talk quenches the Spirit. And you've experienced this. You know. You're enjoying the Lord. You're really exercised and everything. And then you're with the saints or you're with the sisters together. And then something comes out of your mouth about something. And all of a sudden, what happens? You just lose the flow. Right? You just quench the Spirit. Just a little thing. A little careless talk. You have to be careful. Oh, Lord Jesus. Sisters, too. Even a little disobedience to the inner sense of life can quench the Spirit. We must learn not to quench the Spirit. The verses in Galatians are the one our brother read about the two kinds of walk. Walk by the Spirit. But if we don't obey the inner anointing, this is the exercise of our spirit. The Lord touches you to say something to someone. You disobey, right? You quench the Spirit. You quench the Spirit. Or maybe the Spirit is telling you, don't go there. Oh, but Lord, I want to go there. So you still go there. You go shopping. The Lord's not giving you any. Don't buy this. But Lord, I came here for this. It's on sale. I'm going to save money. But you can't argue with the Lord. He won't argue with you. You know, and then you manufacture the peace because you're saving money, you know. And I'll give the rest to you, Lord. Amen. And you go ahead and buy it, but that doesn't help. Spirit is quenched. We have to be careful not to quench the Spirit. Altogether, three. The basic matter is that we must learn how to open ourselves by rejoicing and praying unceasingly and giving thanks in everything so that the Spirit may burn. Altogether, Romans 3. By opening and releasing our spirit, we can express and manifest God. Sisters, A. Amen. Brothers, B. The right way for a Christian to take is to exercise the Spirit, contact God, receive the Lord, and express it altogether. C. If we release our spirit, the very God who is in our spirit will automatically be released. Focus altogether. We are responsible
to exercise our spirit.
Amen.
To release the spirit in the church meeting.
by praying, praising, and singing so that God may be expressed. I just want to introduce you to 845, if you look at that to end here. Some of you know this hymn, some of you may not. Release my spirit, this is what I need. This is a Brother Lee's hymn. I hope you know this in your hymnal. Of course, if you have the electronic hymnal, it will give you the author. But in the hymnal, all the asterisks are Brother Lee's hymns, and the ones with a dagger are Watchman Nee's hymns. So there are a lot of treasures in your hymnal we hope you would go and enjoy. This goes, release my spirit, this is what I need. Oh, may my spirit with the saints be knit. No more in private ways thys to seek, but freed from self and for thy building fit. This is a marvelous hymn. And this melody really releases the words. So let me just correct you. On the melody, you have missing the third line. And being it, no more in private ways thyself to seek. Sing that with me. No more in private ways thyself to seek. We usually sing it lower, okay? I just, it's good to learn what's written here, okay? One more time. No more in private ways thyself to seek, but freed from self and for thy building. Read verse 4. Release my spirit. This is what I want, that I from my seclusion may depart. My private seeking poverty has brought. Now, say from self, thy wealth to me. If you are just seeking spirituality, you will not be released. You need to enjoy the Lord for the building of the church. It's not for our own enjoyment. It's not for our own spirituality. It is for, if you do that, you will just end up poor. Poverty has brought, right? Anyway, a lot of riches in these hymns, so I wanted to introduce that to you. Now, it's your turn. Amen.